the primary thing, basic thing, what are we supposed to be doing. So we are here for deen, for the effort of deen, and preservation of deen. That's our need, right? This world will remain until and unless there is someone to say, Allah, Allah. So then there will be the need for us to see what was done from the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahaba Kiram, Tabi'een, and so forth and so on. This morning, there are some ulama that were discussing the same thing. So then I have to give my two cents. Normally, I don't like this discussion. When it comes up now, and someone is taking it in the wrong end, then it's important to show the right perspective. So I started off from Sulh Hudaybiyah. In Sulh Hudaybiyah, there was an agreement. On one side was the Muslims of Medina Munawwara. On the other end was the Quraysh. So there's an agreement. That agreement shows that the Quraysh were in power. So it was their rule, it was their regime, it was their command. You have to follow. Right. But under the Quraysh, then how were the Muslims living? So now you get some light. How were the Muslims living under the Quraysh? They wanted Rasulullah to enter into some agreements. Agreements is that you don't speak out against us, our polytheism and our idols, and you are free to do what you want. And then the ayat, La abudu ma ta'abudun, wa la antum abidun ma abud lakum deenukum wa liyadeen. We won't enter into this type of an agreement, even if it means not to speak out against your religion. Look at the tafsir, all the, approximately all the tafsir have got the same thing. We're not going to enter into this arrangement. So we'll speak out against it. And because of us speaking out against it, then we'll be persecuted. Hazrat Sumayya will be murdered. Hazrat Bilal will be tortured. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu will be harassed and hurt, disfigured so much that you can't make out his face. Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu anhu would have been killed if Abbas radiallahu anhu didn't come and help him out. So all this they have to go through. So now, that was in the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In this day, now, how will it be seen and viewed by the modern ulama, so-called, how they view it? So this is murder, you see. Because he spoke out, therefore he got killed. So Mia got killed, why? She spoke out. So she is suicidal. That's how they will read the whole thing. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was around, he never said that. Sahaba Kiram around, nobody said that. And everybody now, they speak proudly about Sumayya, the first Shahida in Islam. They're proud to keep the child's name, Sumayya, first Shahida of her time, right? As Bilal spoke out, and he was persecuted, tortured, harassed. Now, you open yourself, today's modern argument, you say, see, لَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. You're bringing disaster, destruction to yourself. Nabi Sallallahu was around. Sahaba was around. Nobody said that. We speak proudly of Bilal radiallahu anhu. So now I have to see back what happened at the beginning. How did they conduct themselves? And then we need to have a heart to accept. If it is not looking, or we don't have a heart to accept, then you lost the plot. إِلَّا مَنْ جَاءَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The heart is not clear, you got prejudice, there is some bias in your heart. So you can't get the true picture, I won't get the true picture. Now, that was in Makkah Mukarramah, right? You see now whose regime it was? The Quraysh. And who were speaking out against the state of the Quraysh regime? The Muslims were speaking out. But did Nabi Sam stop them? He stopped them. He spoke out, they did what they're supposed to be doing. And someone did even more than what he was supposed to be doing. Umar comes in, anyone is a challenge, come in. He wants to make his children often come in. He wants to make his wife a widow come in. So there was Umar, and he did it. And Nabi Sam didn't stop him from doing it. Umar got himself hurt, but Nabi Sam didn't stop him. Felt sorry for him. As a consideration, he said, don't go and make it, don't make an announcement in the haram. But this was just Nahiya Irshadi, a consideration, not an obligation. Otherwise, Nabi Sam said, what you did was haram. You opened yourself to suicide. You would have killed you just now. See, that's modern thinking. The lack of either prejudice, this prejudice in the heart, or otherwise, it's a lack of looking into the kitabs. One or two. Or if they look into the kitab, they're not thinking about it. Then you look at the Sahaba Kiram, Khulafa'i Rashidin. Abu Bakr went through the same, as Umar went through the same, right? They went through it. In Makkah, they went through it. Then, further, right, now they ostracized for 3 long years. No food is coming to them. Again, you open yourself to suicide. This today's ulama would have said the same thing. Must respect the state. They're saying it, respect the state. And yeah, whilst the wisdom is there, that locked in, then secretly food is being sent there. Was the state respected? I ask you, was the state respected? Secretly, food is being sent until they couldn't stand the type of tyranny and the type of zulm and scrapped the law. But did Nabi Sam ever reverse, or did Nabi Sam and the Sahaba Kiram ever say that this is wrong, that you're not respecting the state? Did he ever say that? Did he ever say that? Now, the same happens here now in this state. The rich is alright. So we looking at the people in Mshlanga or Musgrave and feel comfortable. In every community, the poor is the majority. Poor is the majority. The wealthy is alright. Very wealthy. The average is in difficulty now already. Because, see, we had questions in Ramadan, right? Sometimes they come personally, they come sometimes by email. Questions were like this. Man says, I've got stock in trade, so much I've got. Millions, right? But no cash. Can I receive zakat? Can you see that? He's got stock in trade, but he's not allowed to do the business. Right? But he's not allowed to do the business. For example, he's got cosmetics, so he's not allowed to do the business. Right? Now, can I receive zakat? Do we think about that person? We only think about the person who's got stashed, cash stashed. We think about him. So we look at the majority, how are they faring? We only did about 25,000 food hampers distribution, indeed, right? People went personally. Most of the areas, they were on the point of starvation. Right on starvation. And will you say that this is a law that is right? Will you say that? All those people that were starving, scores of people that came, professional, unprofessional, they're complaining, they're out of job. No job. They've been retrenched. Professional and unprofessional. Who's going to look after them? So we are looking at our safety zone. We order it, say, hey, chupcha, bring the kamkara karwano. But those people that are dying, starving, do you think about them? Support the law, respect the law. So you respect what? What do you respect? Those people are dying, so must respect that. Let them die. It was your mother, it was your own brother, your own father then. So you see the time of the Sahaba Kiram, right? Then let's move on to the time of the Aimma Khulafa Arba, right? Didn't Abu Hanifa work against the state? Wasn't he tortured? Didn't he die because of him opposing the state? So he died, so he committed suicide. That's what the Tariq Alim would say. Imam Malik, wasn't he tortured? And the reason they give for him making irsal was that his hands were dislocated from the shoulder. Right? Torture and torture They tortured him until his hand was dislocated. So obviously, if it's dislocated, he can't raise his hand. So that's one of the reasons they give for Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi's hand making irsal. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, every Bukhari khadam you hear about it, how he was tortured. So what did he do? He spoke out against the state. And he spoke the state again. There were those that made some ta'wil and got out of it, right? So, you know, make a ta'wil and get out of it. But why did Imam Ahmad speak out against it? And Nasir ibn Nawisam had given that basharat, remain firm. So he was wrong. The imma are wrong, sahaba ikram are wrong. Nawisam watched all this and he kept quiet. He didn't say anything. They were wrong. So today's modern alim, WhatsApp group, he is right. He is right. All his people are wrong. See how serious the thing can become. How serious. For Allah Baksi, I say, keep quiet. If you don't have knowledge, keep quiet. Otherwise, think and think fairly. All disputes life. Then after that, look at it. It continued. All the Zoom continued. And in every era, it continued. Look at the Shah Waliullah Sahib's family, to whom we link ourselves. Shah Waliullah Sahib, Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah. They spoke out against the state, and they were banished from Delhi. Punished and banished. Until so much that they used a poison to poison them. Rub a poison around them. They did all that. But did they then relent? Now, we are linking ourselves to these people proudly, and they worked against the state. Nobody said anything. Then, the ulama of Deoband, Shaykh ul-Hind, how he worked. Imam Qasim Sahib, how did he work? Imam Madani Sahib, rahmatullah, he's like his proverbial whole life. His whole life was against them. Coming in and out of jail. Coming in and out of jail. But did he ever relent? And did the ulama in that zamana say, no, this is tulku, la tulku bi aydikum ila tahluka? Did anybody say that? So now we need to examine all these things here before we make this type of unqualified, immature statements. Otherwise, just leave all this WhatsApp and whatever, Ibrahim has his phone today this morning. Please, all just leave these phones up, please. It's causing a lot of confusion, corruption that it's bringing in. That he says, just tell him, just leave this thing out. I'd rather for him to just phone like that and just ask, you know, leave out this phone here. That means he's understanding what's going on. The corruption, the confusion that's going on in the minds of people, innocent, gullible, the knowledge is not sound, right? And they are exposed to these things here. So can you see what's going on? Can you see what's going on? So this changing condition, I started off with the changing conditions. Al-alamu mutaghayyirun. Wa kullu mutaghayyirin hadisun. Fal-alamu hadisun. Right. So there's going to be these changes. And from one perspective, you look at it, it's one smooth life, we're living nicely, in Amzinto, we're living farm, plus milk, we're drinking, enjoying ourselves now, and all this tagayyurat has to take place, right? You know, it was, la'alla tilka zamana ta'ud, that's what you will say. But now, when these things come up now, then what is the command of Allah Ta'ala that is directed towards us? That's what we need to know. Just hoping for that won't change anything. Just hoping for that, not going to change anything. Yes, what is required now is to understand what is to be done under the circumstance. So, they fought against Zulm, right? Then they fought against Zulm. Allah Ta'ala is saying, مَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّا مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدِ اللَّهِ أَيُّ يُذْكَرَ فِيهِ. That's the greatest zulm. That is the greatest zulm. So they fought for a lesser degree of zulm. And this is the greatest zulm. مَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّا مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدِ. So when they fought for a lesser degree, it was alright. Now for a higher degree, it's wrong. Alright, now carry on. See the argument, now carry on. We're living in a minority, right? Or non-Muslim is not practicing Uplang. Tell me. Muslim or non-Muslim, respecting the law. Is he respecting the law? Ask yourself. Who's that practicing? You bought one car just now, right? You paid all legal money or uplak. Right? So everybody is involved in this. Suddenly, only the masjid must be selective. The masjid must respect the law. Is that right? It's coming to your mind. Right. See that. Traffic fines and all. What happens, right? Someone, one friend of mine was telling me he was in Joburg, right? He had to go to his daughter's place. So, he had to take a turn off-ramp. And so, when you're coming on the off-ramp, you have to come right onto the left, and then you take the off-ramp. So he was right on the right, and last minute they noticed that the off-ramp is there. So now, they have to come across the line, and the police just waved them. You know, this is a big offense. It's a 2,000 rand, some fine, whatever fine was there. Sorry, I'm from Durban now. I don't know these laws here now. I'm sorry about it. I know the place, you know. And I have to, now, I have to leave this one here, I have to travel 30 kilometers, then I'll find an off-ramp, come back. Sorry about it. So the police say, you know, I'm just tired of giving warnings only, you know. I'm just tired. So that man is telling me. So then what we did, so his wife had some juice and some coke, and said, just take this. Yeah, okay, next time, don't do it. Huh? You see the law, huh? It's a plaything. I ask you, who's not doing this to you? Who's not practicing this? So the only thing that must suffer the consequence is the masjid. Everything can carry on. Your business can carry on. This can carry on. What must suffer? The masjid must suffer. Is that right? I ask you, is it fair to the masjid? Or are we being totally unfair to the masjid? Is it fair to the masjid, or are we being totally unfair? Right, come on. Moving again ahead, right? Now in all the Western countries, you look in Europe now, Europe, England, Canada, right, secular education is compulsory for both males and females. Right? You have to send your daughter. And your daughter got the right of choosing a religion. She's got the right of choosing a religion. And dare you discourage that, and it's a criminal offense. They'll take your daughter away and they'll jail you. Where? Canada, Australia, England, all space happening. Right. So respect the law then. Huh? You respect the law. Yeah? So your daughter is not interested in one non-Muslim. Respect the law. What do you do? You got to work to save your deen. Primary thing is your deen. Primary thing is your values. You will look after that. Right? Now, moving on, right? Now, in most of these Christian countries, you can't even speak about gays, lesbians, transgender. You can't even speak about it. It's a criminal law. It's an offense. Now, mustn't speak about that. Now, in some countries, they've already started it off. In the fiqh kitabs, if they got anything about gays, lesbians, and all, must actually delete it. The Quran Sharif, that ayat comes in, then don't translate those areas. Don't speak about that areas. What are you going to do? Tell me. So, you see these people that made hijrat. Why they made hijrat? Uzu fi sabili wa qatalu wa kutilu. They were persecuted. They came right to the hurt. There was no way now. So then they migrated. But now, the migration becomes so difficult. Can you go into a place and get the full Islamic freedom? Can you go from one place? Maybe Afghanistan, you can get it. But other than that, can you get the full freedom? Can you get it? Muslim or non-Muslim country, they're selling wine. There's brothels there. There's loose women there. Everything is cancelled. Shal tiki naam gari, everything. Shal raha. Everything is happening. So now, the only option is left, that's left, that you try to save your religion, right? Try to save your values, right? But do how much you can manage, what? Don't do what you cannot manage. If the Shaykh al-Islam did something, he could manage that, right? You can't manage that, don't manage, don't do that. But don't speak out against him, that no, what he did was wrong. He's supposed to be respecting the law. Don't say that. Just because you look at that Indian history, see, most of the Indians that came here is between 1870 and 1900. That's the time they came in. They look at Indian history. Indian history, what they got up to now, between 1875 1900, there were 25 million deaths. Right? Why? Because 85 or 90% of the Indians lived off the ground, right? They lived off the ground. These people confiscated all their produce, sent to England and Europe. Now, brought about severe starvation, and they died. So they were forced to leave. They were forced to leave under the circumstances, look for some place where they can breathe freely, they can live freely. They were forced to live. So they left because of circumstances. Now, under this circumstance, you have to see now, what can you do if someone is challenging, right? Or someone is asking, demanding for his rights, right? Then you will not say that he's doing zulm, he's demanding his rights. If Zahir Umar went on and he defended his right, so you'll say he's wrong. It was his right. And he found that there were some major discrepancies, so he spoke about it. So was it wrong? Can you say it was wrong? No, he defended the cause of justice. So if he defended the cause of justice, what's wrong in that? So these new developments that are coming in, either by don't listen to it at all, say I don't have the capacity, please. So I don't pick a side, not A, not B. I don't know, my mind is not clear. And if you picked a side, then you must be 100% sure. There mustn't be any discrepancy. Absolutely no discrepancy. Now, look at it, how it's going. Now they got it in record, right? How it's going. That there's a party that is asking for the masjid to be opened, right? They're asking for the masjid. And another party is saying, no, don't open it at all. Don't open it. That kufar judge, the Jewish woman that was presiding, she said, when that one Nazir Qasim, he came, he's a senior attorney, right? He came in, all in record, so all you can hear it. He came and he says, I will arbitrate the whole thing. Can we negotiate out of court? These people said, no. Over my dead body, must be locked. Not one person must be allowed. No, what are you fighting? You're fighting for the cause of justice. This, the kafir is saying, go out, all right, and you all try and work it out amongst yourselves. And they were at the point of giving in. What I say, all this is in record. They were at the point of giving in. And this person's other opposite friends of the court, they are saying, what they say? No. The words they say is over my dead body. Is that right? The one side of Quraysh is saying, man azlamu mimman mana'a masajid. That's the greatest zulm. And then they become the friends. So sometimes you begin to think, now, bhai, ye Musliman bhi hai nahi. Are they Muslims? You know, the zulm went to that point. Man wants to come to masjid, he can't. He wants to read namaz in congregation, he can't do it. He is so terrified. But now, this is now the blessings of the friends of the court. Because the judge had ruled, alright, go, and please, the words she says, please, you try and arbitrate this yourself. You try and work out something out of the court. Because that Nazir Qasim held in high respect. So go and work it out yourself. No. They went, so now, over my dead body. They're not going to open the masjid. But now, where's the insaf? Where's the adl? Yeah, they're not fighting with it. All they're asking is, we ask our right to enter the masjid. Today we went to meet one Sikh person. So he says, the banks are full, shops are all loaded, right? Bazaars are all overcrowded. Murisu was telling me now, where they're living, the blacks are living, then one toilet is being shared by 50 people. So all that can carry on, but the masjid mustn't operate. All that can carry on, germs, virus, nothing will come there. But the masjid mustn't operate. I say, where is the justice? See, and who's bringing this injustice? Own people are bringing injustice. So it's a point that we should be thinking, or think rightly, think fairly, that everything, the shops can work. Now, there's a patient here in a hospital, right? From Spring Beach. It's about the ninth day that nobody can see him. His mother can't see him, his brothers can't see him. Doctors are so shocked, they can't even go near a patient. He's quite serious and nobody can see him. Nobody can access him. Nobody. But you see now what's happening. See the the ramification, the consequences. We did this, these people are poor, people are starving. They say that in the point of starving, right, starvation. These people that are sick and they have to go to hospital, they can't get the treatment. But see the consequences. That's why I say, there are so sambal karke baat karo. Allah will give us that clean hearts, and that clean mind, and that clean rationale to reason rightly.